Hello and welcome to ArcSieve LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new ArcSieve paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. The paper we're looking at today is Architectures for Building Agentic AI. It's timely because we're moving from single-call chat interactions to multi-step, tool-using stateful agents that can actually get work done across systems.
We're going to look at it from two angles. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage, and Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, teams hit a wall with one-shot prompts. What usually happens is someone needs to triage a support ticket, pull context from the CRM, check policy in a wiki, and draft a reply. Today, that's three tools, a bunch of copy-paste, and a brittle prompt you hope the model follows. If anything changes midstream, a new attachment, a permission check, the whole thing falls apart and you start over. Agentic architectures remove a lot of that friction. They keep state across steps, hand off to the right tool with the right parameters, and log what happened so a human can review. You don't need a spreadsheet of prompts and glue scripts for every edge case. It's about reliability, auditability, and fewer manual handoffs.
So basically, people want a dependable workflow runner with memory and tool access, not just a clever autocomplete box. The payoff is fewer copy-pastes, fewer restarts, and a clear trail of what the AI did. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of architecture showing up now?
A few things converged. First, models got better at structured tool use. Function calling and tool invocation are now native in most APIs, so you can safely pass arguments to real systems. Second, longer context windows and retrieval tooling make it viable to keep a working memory without drowning the model. Third, cost and latency pressures force separation of planning and execution. You plan with the LLM, then execute lighter weight calls and only bring the model back when needed. Finally, teams need observability and safety. Retries, timeouts, guardrails, and an audit log. You can't bolt that onto a single prompt. You need an agentic runtime that orchestrates steps, preserves state, and contains failure modes. At a high level, the paper proposes a modular agent architecture with six core pieces. 1, a planner that turns a user goal into a step-by-step plan. 2, an executor that runs those steps and decides when to call which tool. 3, memory, short-term scratchpad plus longer-term storage for facts and past runs. 4, tool interfaces, typed adapters for APIs, databases, browsers, code interpreters. 5, a verifier safety module that checks outputs, enforces policies, and requests human approval if needed. And 6, a communication bus that passes messages and state between components and logs everything for observability. It plugs in above the model layer and below your business tools. You keep your LLM of choice, you run this as the agent runtime, and you connect tools via adapters. Compared to prompt-only agents or simple LangChain-style chains, the big differences are explicit planning, explicit state, and a verification loop, which make reliability and auditing practical.
So basically, there's a control room with a to-do list, a memory shelf, and a phone book of tools, and a safety officer checking each step. It sits between your model and your systems. Mark, if that lands in a real team, what changes day-to-day?
What usually changes first is the UI and the workflow discipline. Instead of tossing a mega prompt into chat, people click into a playbook. They choose a goal, triage ticket, compile weekly report, and the agent shows a planned timeline with steps. You connect the right data sources once, CRM, wiki, code repo, and the agent reuses them. There's an approvals lane. Red steps require a manager click, green steps auto run. Every run gets a trace you can replay. After 2 weeks, folks stop copy-pasting across tabs. They hit run, skim the step logs, and only intervene if the verifier flags something.
Let's make it concrete. Mark, give us a simple operational use case, something many teams could do next week.
Customer support triage is the low-hanging fruit. The agent watches a new ticket, grabs the thread and attachments, pulls the customer record from the CRM, and fetches relevant policy snippets from the wiki. It summarizes, labels severity, proposes a reply, and either sends it or parks it for approval. Preconditions: you've set up connectors to the help desk, CRM, and wiki. You've defined templates and who can approve. From the user side, it's two clicks. Select the ticket, choose triage plus draft reply. The gain is immediate. A 2 to 3 minute task drops to 30 to 40 seconds with consistent policy citations and a full audit trail.
So that's a short chain. Fetch, summarize, propose, maybe send. Now for the more advanced scenario, Mark, imagine a research assistant that has to touch multiple tools and produce a final asset. What does that look like?
Picture a product manager asking, compare our last quarter churn to a competitor's likely pricing change and suggest experiments. The agent plans 1. Query Snowflake for churn by segment, 2. Scrape competitor pricing pages and cached announcements with a browser tool, 3. Run a Python notebook to correlate segments with pricing sensitivity, 4. Draft 2 experiment ideas, 5. Update a Notion page and a Looker dashboard, 6. Post a Slack summary. Along the way, it stores intermediate tables in memory, attaches plots, and asks for approval before posting externally. If a query fails, it retries with a narrowed time window. If scraping is blocked, it switches to a cached source. The user mostly watches the timeline, approves the 2 gated steps, and gets a finished package.
That advanced flow maps cleanly to the paper's mechanics. The planner decomposes the goal into tool-typed steps with expected inputs, outputs. The executor invokes adapters, SQL, browser, Python, and captures artifacts into memory, which is split into a short-term step context and a longer-term vector store for retrieval later. The verifier checks each artifact: schema validity for tables, simple statistical sanity checks for the analysis, policy checks for anything public. The bus wires events so you can stream partial results to the UI and kick off retries. Failure modes are contained. Tools time out. The plan can be replanned locally for a failed step, and human approval gates prevent side effects until confidence is high.
Put differently, it's not just the model trying its best. There's a planner handing out tasks, a runner executing them, and a checker catching bad steps before they hit the world. Jamie, how is this different from just telling an LLM, do the research and update the dashboard, in one giant prompt?
LLM-only prompts blur planning and execution and have no typed boundaries. You get brittle behavior. Any small failure derails the whole response. With the architecture here, planning is cheap and explicit. Execution is chunked into tool calls with schemas, and state is durable. That buys you retries, partial progress, and observability. The trade-offs are latency. More steps mean more round trips and cost. Extra model calls for planning and verification. You mitigate that with lightweight planners, batching tool calls, and only invoking the LLM when a decision is needed.
Okay, last practical angle for this segment, monitoring and rollback. Mark, who's in the loop when the agent takes actions, and how do you undo something if it goes sideways?
We set thresholds. Read-only steps auto-run. Write actions to production systems need approval. In practice, the agent proposes, I'm about to update the dashboard with these numbers. You see the diff and click approve. For rollback, each tool adapter implements an inverse when possible. Revert a dashboard change, delete a draft ticket, close a PR. We also run new playbooks in shadow mode for a week. The agent does everything but the final write, and we compare outputs to a human baseline. The Tracelog plus SSO keeps compliance happy. Who approved what, when, and with which inputs?
And under the hood that's supported by adempotent tool calls, step-level checkpoints in the memory store, and a verifier that can block or route to human review. Compared to earlier React or vanilla chain setups, the big upgrade is stateful orchestration and typed tools, which make monitoring and rollback first class instead of ad hoc. You pay a bit in engineering to define schemas and adapters, but you gain control and reproducibility.
So if I sum it up, simple cases become push button with a clean audit trail. Complex cases become manageable because planning, memory, and tools work in concert, and you've got guardrails and undo built in. Jamie and Mark, that's a solid blueprint. Let's keep those trade-offs in mind as we move to limits and results next.
Let me start with the prerequisites and limits the authors call out. On model capability, the whole approach assumes the LLM can reliably follow function schemas, keep a short plan in working memory, and not hallucinate tool arguments. It also assumes a context window large enough to hold a plan, a scratch pad, and a few retrieved snippets. So think compact prompts and careful memory pruning. On infrastructure, you need a stateful runtime with a durable store for step traces, a vector store or key value memory, secure connectors to your tools, OAuth, scoped API keys, and idempotent adapters so retries don't cause side effects. Constraints-wise, you pay in latency and cost. Planning and verification add extra round trips, and external tools can be the long pole. Reliability hinges on timeouts, retries, and fallbacks when tools flake. Evaluation is still immature. Faithfulness checks catch some errors, but long horizon tasks are hard to score consistently, and safety testing tends to be policy rule-based rather than formally verified. For future work, they suggest better hierarchical planning, learned verifiers instead of only rules, standardized tool schemas, and stronger evaluations using real traces rather than just synthetic tasks.
Put simply, you need a brain that can follow instructions, a memory that doesn't overflow, and a chassis to keep everything logged and secure. It'll be a bit slower and pricier than a single chat, but more reliable, as long as your connectors and retries are solid. Mark, what does that translate to on the org and setup side?
In real life, you need a few roles and some discipline. First, a playbook owner, the person who defines the goal, the steps that are allowed, and the approval points. Second, tool owners. Someone in data owns the SQL adapter, someone in web owns the browser scraper, someone in ops owns the help desk connector. We document schemas and guardrails in a shared repo, inputs, outputs, idempotency notes, and the rollback path. RBAC matters, read only by default, write access gated by group. We run new playbooks in a sandbox for a week, compare agent outputs to human baselines, then promote with an approval lane. Finally, we keep prompts and policies versioned. Without that minimal hygiene, you spend time debugging invisible changes and approvals get messy.
Got it. Name the owners, write down the rules, start in a sandbox, and keep versions. Jamie, what results did the paper report to back this up?
They evaluated in controlled settings built to stress agent behavior. Think tool use task suites and web-style environments where the agent has to plan, call APIs with typed arguments, and produce a final artifact. Metrics included end-to-end task success, step-level accuracy for tool calls, faithfulness checks on intermediate artifacts, and cost latency compared to prompt-only baselines like React-style chains. The modular architecture improved task success and reduced catastrophic failures versus the simpler baselines, with a modest latency increase driven by planning and verification. Costs were roughly comparable overall because fewer failed runs and targeted retries offset the extra planner calls. Worth noting, most experiments were in simulated or tightly controlled tool environments, not messy production systems.
For someone listening in their car, that means in test beds that look like the real world but don't have all the chaos, agents finished more tasks and made fewer big mistakes. You might wait a bit longer and the compute bill won't go down, but you'll spend less time redoing broken runs. Mark, reality check. What should teams expect when this hits production?
Expect a haircut on success rates when you plug into real APIs with rate limits and odd data. Latency will feel spikier because external tools dominate. Engineering overhead is real in month one, writing adapters, schemas, and approvals, but it flattens once you standardize connectors. The first big wins show up in ops style, repeatable workflows, support triage, weekly reporting, CRM hygiene, simple research briefs. Teams with clean data boundaries and existing APIs benefit most. If your process depends on slow human inputs or ambiguous legal review, the agent still helps collect and structure, but it won't close the loop without a human.
One-line takeaway: this paper gives teams a pragmatic blueprint to turn LLMs from clever chat into dependable, auditable workflows, with explicit planning, memory, and verification doing the heavy lifting. To finish, a quick reminder: the English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArcSieve LLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.